Welcome to Singled Out, the podcast for Christian singles of all ages. Singled Out is brought to you by the Fundamental Baptist Singles Fellowship. You can find us on the web at fbsingles.wordpress.com, or you can email us directly with any of your questions and comments at fbsingles@aim.com. And now, here's today's program. Hello and welcome to another Singled Out podcast. I'm your host, Pastor Kevin Thompson. Today we have a wonderful program lined up for you. We will be listening to two preachers, actually. Pastor Edward Jasanis, who was the pastor of Galilean Baptist Church. Now he's actually an evangelist with Jasanis Family Ministries. He is ministering to small and struggling churches. And we'll be listening to Pastor Kevin Thompson, myself. Now, this message was delivered back at the 2005 Sunday School Conference down in Southington, Connecticut at Central Baptist Church. They put on that conference every year. And we were asked to deliver a message on the singles ministry. So we'll be listening to this message. I guess you can call it a pastoral perspective on the singles ministry. And I hope you enjoy this. And here it is.
I'm a pastor here in Connecticut. And hopefully by the end of this class, you'll get a new vision for singles ministry. Let's go ahead and start off with a word of prayer, and then we'll get started. Our Father, Lord, we thank you for today. I thank you, Lord, for each person who's come today to learn about singles ministry. I thank you, Lord, for how you've just burdened us and our church and a blessing, Lord, to us. And hope we can be a blessing here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Our church, I'm going to introduce one other person. This is Pastor Kevin Thompson. He's my assistant pastor. Our church has started a singles program. We're a small church. Our church is too small. Our church only has 30 people in it. But we have about a half a dozen single people. And ministering to single people is different than ministering to couples. As I learned this morning, I went to a Sunday school class that was excellent. Learning how to get people involved. And one of the things he mentioned that's so true is different classes, you have different needs. And singles have different needs than married people. And so we've decided to break this session in half. I'm going to talk for the first 15, 20 minutes on ministry, singles ministry as from the church perspective. Pastor Thompson is going to come after that and to talk for the remaining 15, 20 minutes and talk about ministry of singles. And so it's going to be, hopefully it'll be a real blessing to both, and from both aspects. But I want to have to think about this for a moment. What is, when you think of singles ministries, what do you think of? What do you think of with a singles ministry today?
Dating service.
Dating service, yes. Yeah, that's my number one thing. Marry them off. Okay.
Carefree, not a lot of responsibilities.
Excellent. What else?
I tend to think of panic.
Panic.
That they're not going to get a mate.
Okay, because they're not going to get a mate. What else? When you think of singles ministries, what else do you think of?
You have some people who are single not by design or choice, but have been abandoned.
Okay.
By a spouse or something.
Okay. You have different types of singles, yes?
Yes, some single people that want to get married too.
Okay, so you have the singles who they're looking for a mate, a husband or a wife, yes. And so these are all common focuses. Unfortunately, they're not biblical. A biblical focus of a singles ministry ought not be to marry them off. It ought not be a dating session. At the end of the session, we have at our church a singles conference coming up in August. And we'd like to invite your church as singles. But it's called Singled Out to Serve. Singles ministries ought not be about just marrying them off. Now, will that be an output of singles ministries? Of course. Will singles get married? Yes. But it ought not be just two. Well, let's see how many of these we can pair up and keep them in the church. We don't want them to find a single from another church, especially the girls, because then we lose them, right? And if it is a singles ministry that is to marry them off, who do you lose? You lose all the people who have the divorced singles in your church their husband or wife left them. Aren't they single now? They're not. So it's a wrong philosophy. But if our singles ministry is based on what Scripture teaches, and we're going to look at that in a little bit, then we have a singles ministry that is for all singles. We have singles in our church. Pastor Thompson's one of our single men. And we have single ladies whose husbands have passed away. We have singles who have been divorced, and different singles in our church. All of them have similar needs. Yet, if our singles ministries are about marrying them, then we're going to limit it to really a college and career class, a college age young people. And what it becomes is, and I may steal Pastor Thompson's quote later, but one of the things he told me one time was it becomes an adult youth group. Okay? And that's not what singles ministries are about. Another false focus of singles ministries are keep them busy. They can't do anything else anyway, so might as well just keep them busy. We have singles activity. And again, there's nothing wrong with some of these things. So don't leave here saying, oh boy, he's really knocked my whole everything about. I want to challenge you to get back to ministering to singles. Singles activities are just as good as youth activities. But you don't have youth activities just to have youth activities. I mean, at least you shouldn't. Youth activities have a purpose. Okay, and the same thing would be true with singles activities. You have a purpose for them, and whether it's a fun activity or a service activity. You know, we always want to have fun activities with our teens, and that's good, but the greatest youth groups always have service activities. The same thing is true with our singles. Why can't singles get together for fellowship and have fun? Sure. Why can't they also get together to serve? How about segregating them? They're outcasts. There are a lot of singles who feel that way. There are a lot of singles who in church ministries feel like, I can't do anything in this church because I'm not married. Some churches, I was in a church in Florida. They use married couples, and I'm not going to ask if this is your church or not, but they only use married couples to teach Sunday school classes. And all the singles in the church felt like, what good am I? I could teach a Sunday school class even though I'm single. And so, I want to ask you today, what is your philosophy of singles ministry? Well, let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. While you're turning there, you know, it's interesting. I looked up the word single. And it only appears twice in Scripture. In one of the cases, it says in Luke 11:34, it says, the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. That didn't help me for today, so. But 1 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning of verse 1, says, now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and like also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Why are you reading all this? It's all married stuff. I'll keep reading. Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. Come together again, that Satan tempt you not. for your incontinency. But I speak this by permission and not of commandment. For I would that all men were as myself. But every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner, and another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them to abide, for them if they abide even as I. Now God through his inspiration says, it is a good thing to be single. Yet, because of our improper philosophies in church, we make it seem like it's a bad thing to be single. There's a false statement I heard in college. We used to joke, for every man, there's a woman out there somewhere. Because typically in college anyway, when I went to school, it was a 3-to-1 majority. So there were, any guy who left college without a wife had to be a loser. I mean, really, if you think about it, if there are 3 women out there for every 1 man in college, and then you graduate, and how do you feel if you're single? And we have that. As pastors, and we need to make sure, and church leaders, we need to make sure that that's not, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. So here are a few things I want you to think about for today, and then I'm going to turn the remainder of my time over to Pastor Thompson, and he's got something also prepared for you. God has a plan that some remain single. God has a plan that some remain single. That's God's plan. And as a church leader, we need to make sure that we get them involved. Realize their value to the ministry. Realize their value to the ministry in your town or your church. Think about this. Married people. What do they have standing in the way of service? Well, if you're married here, what do you have in the way of you giving everything to the Lord? Family. Responsibilities.
Differences of opinion on service.
Okay, differences of opinion on service. Children. You need to give your children time. Single people. Do you have family that you need to dedicate children to, time for children? No, you have far more time to serve as a single person. They can usually help out at a moment's notice. Because they don't have to pull up. One of the things, if you call me and ask me, I check with my wife to make sure enough she hasn't planned anything. It's not that I couldn't help, but maybe I have to cancel something. Because my wife, a family, that happens in families. You have to have constant communication. Single person, I call Pastor Thompson, he doesn't have to. Well, hey, honey, do I have to? Can I go help Pastor? No, there's nothing standing in the way unless he's got something else planned. They don't have anything to tie them down. They don't and so there's great benefits in being single. Paul said, I wish that everyone were like I am. Paul could get up and leave whenever he wanted to. And Romans 12 still hasn't been removed from the Bible. And what is in Romans 12? For those of you who know.
I present you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God.
Okay, and that starts us off. Everyone is to present themselves, and where does it go from there? Talks about what? Everyone's gifts. Everyone has been given a gift. Now, think about this. Number 3, utilize their talents and gifts for the Lord. Since everyone has a gift, it's our responsibility to find out what that gift is and use it. That's our responsibility as a leader. In a moment, Pastor Thomas is going to come and talk about the singles, from the singles perspective. But as a pastor, it's our responsibility to make sure that singles are involved. Because if someone isn't involved in the ministry, do you have a complete ministry? Those of you who are pastors, if someone is not involved? Is your ministry complete? Are you completely? Is your ministry complete? How is it fulfilled? By getting everyone using their gifts for God. And then finally, number four, realize that there are some areas they'll need help. What do I mean by that? There are some limitations. Just as there are limitations for married people, there are limitations for single people. You know, a single man, if he's going to be the youth leader, work with the youth, you need to make sure that he has help. Because a single man shouldn't be counseling a single young lady. So as a leader in the church, it's our responsibility. We can use them in great ways. But there are some areas we may need to give them help. And so, we need to make sure that our focus on singles ministries today, that it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing to be single. We ought not. If two get married, great. That will be a result. But the biblical focus of being single is that it's a good thing. And so Pastor Thompson's going to come now, and he's going to take the next 15 to 20 minutes, and he's going to take it from a singles perspective. And afterwards, what I'd like to do is open it up to any questions. We can discuss, have a time of discussion. So Pastor Thompson, will you come?
I was told 15 to 20 minutes. We'll see what happens. Let me give you my personal testimony. I grew up in a Christian home. Went to the last 2 years of my high school career, I went to a good Christian school, the New England Baptist Academy. And one of the things I remember sitting down, deciding what college I would go to. And we got the standard lecture that everyone gets. You need to go to a good Christian college. And I agree with that. You don't want to go to the secular schools. They're humanistic. They're evolutionary. Don't mess. Don't get involved with that. Fine. No problem. Then the second reason was always, you need to go to a good Christian college because that's where you're going to find your wife. Okay, well, you know, that's usually what happens, right? I said, okay, well, fine. And we had many couples who went off to college and they always came back married. In our church, it was almost 100%. And so I went in with the expectation, I'm getting married out of college. I don't know how, I don't know who it's going to be, but fine, I'm going to get married out of college. You know, I went through my freshman year, it didn't happen. You know, I didn't meet too many people. You don't meet too many people, by the way, when you're just sitting in your dorm room all day studying with God. You know, I'm not a people person. Sophomore year, didn't happen. Junior year, I did meet somebody, and we went out, we had some sort of relationship, but that didn't. Senior year, college, here I am, no prospects. It's the end of the world. You know? The senioritis kicks in, and I'm seeing all my friends are starting to get engaged. You know, it's said when you go to Bible college, every summer, you're going to have friends who get engaged, and the next summer, they're going to get married. You know, that's just the way it works. Well, I was senior year, and I had professors telling me. I'd sit down and talk, what would you like to do in your ministry? Well, I'd like to do X, Y, Z. Great. Kevin, we think you've got a good knowledge of Scripture, and we think your preaching ability is okay. But now you just need to find a wife, and you're all set. Great. We were in one class just for preacher boys. Pastor stood up and said, "When all the graduating seniors, please stand up." We all stood up, and I'm pretty proud of myself. I made it. You know, I'm out the door. I can see the diploma. You know, I'm ready to go. He said, "I'm great. Now, if you are engaged, then please stand and sit down." So all those who were engaged sat down. Now, if you've got a girlfriend that you think that you might, sit down. And they all sat down. And the number kept growing smaller and smaller. There I am, with like three or four other guys. The pastor in front of everyone said, "Now listen, we need to be praying for these students." How encouraging was that? Well, you know, the end of the world happened. I did graduate. And I didn't get married. I didn't find anyone miraculously the last 2 weeks of college. Nothing happened. So what was I supposed to do? You almost get the impression I failed. something didn't go right that was supposed to happen. Somehow I fell out of God's will because 2 weeks after graduation I wasn't in a wedding ceremony. And you almost get that mentality of, I failed. Here I am, an adult, out of college, out of school completely, and I'm not married. And that would really get to me occasionally. And I'd get fits of loneliness, I'd get fits of depression. Whenever I think about that, I've had pastors, other pastors tell me, well, one of the things you really need to focus on now is finding a wife. I had people tell me not to come to the church I'm at because there aren't a whole lot of single ladies there. So you need to go to another church where there's, you know, they're in abundance. I had people tell me, go back to college, you'll get your master's, go get a doctor or something. How long would it take to get a wife? Well, I don't feel the Lord leading me in that. I feel as if I need to be in the ministry. I need to be preaching. I need to be fulfilling my call. And it was just a great source of discouragement to me. But then the Lord led me to this chapter we've been talking about, 1 Corinthians 7. And for me, I hated this chapter. This is that chapter talking about the dreaded gift of singleness. We don't want to go there. Because no one's single. You know, I don't want that. No, I'm going to get married. I don't need this. But I was studying another topic. You don't remember what that was. And so I said, you know, if I'm going to study this particular topic, I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 7. This topic of divorce. And so I was reading through this, and it just the Lord just opened my eyes all of a sudden. When we got the verse 1, now concerning the things whereof he wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. You know, for all of my life, this verse is associated with, you know, the 6-inch rule. You know what the 6-inch rule is? Thou shalt not touch a woman was what the original Greek must say. But there is no prohibition here in this verse. This is not a negative thing. Paul's saying it is good. And when you read this in context, it's talking about marital relations. And Paul's saying this is a good thing. That never dawned on me. I've never thought of the single life as being anything but good. The single life is fine. You know, I got to deal with it. I'll deal with it until I find a wife, and then everything will be solved. But Paul says it is good. You know I'm single if I'm saying that. I've been around about Mary Thomas to know that. But Paul says this is a good thing. This is good. How can this be good? And he goes on. And he says, for I would that all men, even as I myself, but every man hath the proper gifts of God, one after this manner, one after another. After that, verse 8, I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. That's the first lesson I had to learn. This is a good thing. The Bible says every good gift comes from where? Above. God has me single for a reason. It took me a while to get to that point. No one ever shared that with me. It's a good thing. All right, fine, it's a good thing. I'll settle for this. There's nothing to be settled for. Sometimes, okay, well, it's a good thing. We can establish it's a good thing to be single. That's kind of like the consolation prize. All right, the big prize is marriage. That's what we all want. But if you can't get married, then you can still be happy as a single, I guess. I don't know how you do that, but fine. You can be single and be happy. But until you actually get married, you'll just deal with it until then. No, okay. Paul's saying, no, this is a good thing, this is something to be cherished, this is something to rejoice over. And it dawned on me that really, I was living my life in anticipation of one thing where God said, no, wait, I have you here for a reason. You have a tremendous opportunity and a tremendous occasion that you wouldn't otherwise have. You don't have the encumberments that a married couple would have. You have chances for opportunity no one else would have. I want you to do these things. The purpose of the single life is not to get married. The purpose of the single life is to serve. That's why we've entitled our conference, Singled Out to Serve. Singled Out for Service. What does verse 7 say? For I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this man, one after another. What's the purpose of the gift? The purpose of the gift is to edify the body. Your local assembly of believers, the church.
Right.
God said you have a role to play in your church. Sometimes we do get discouraged in that area. As Pastor Jacinta said, there are some churches that just are so couples-oriented. Mm. They have the, what I heard one preacher call it, a no-egg principle. Everything's done by two and by two. And we almost think that I can't. Now that I'm in the ministry, most of my friends are also in the ministry. Other pastors, youth pastors, assistant pastors. And I wish I had a nickel for every time I heard the phrase, well, if we only had a couple who could run this ministry. If we only had a couple who could run that ministry. Now there are ministries that are better suited for a couple. But as single people, we have a tremendous opportunity that God has given us. And you know, to be honest, I was going through those fits of depression, fits of loneliness, because I was not using that gift. Now, I was in the ministry. I think, am I doing everything I could be doing? Am I taking this time for service and this time for an undivided, passionate, unencumbered relationship with Christ?
Amen.
You know, I hadn't been doing that. You know, because the Bible says in the book of Colossians that the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells within my Lord, and we are complete in Him. Our completeness comes not through a spouse, not through some other human being, but we are complete only in Christ. If I am feeling incomplete, my problem is not with you, it's with Christ. And I've got to fix that relationship first. And once I made the decision, I'm going to passionately follow Christ no matter what, then things for me began to change. All of a sudden, I saw things in new light. And when I would get to, there are times, of course, where everyone feels lonely, where I'd say, all right, you know what, I need to saturate myself back in the Scriptures. You know, I'm sure there is some service of ministry, some area of service that I could be throwing myself into at this point. One of the things about the ministry, there's always things to do. Talk to your pastor, there's always something to do.
That's right.
He likes to. Pastor, you mentioned about not, you know, I'm not going to get myself in trouble. But the point is, we can have a complete and a full ministry, a full life as a single person. I read through this chapter for, of Corinthians. Look at a few verses. We've already read verses 7 and 8. Let's jump down a little bit. Let's jump down to verse 32. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Verse 35, and I speak this for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. When I read through 1 Corinthians 7, I get a different impression than when I hear some sermons preached on. What I read here is that almost Paul's almost saying, if you had no other chapter of Scripture, you would come away with the thought that you don't want to be married. Marriage life is not to be desired at all. That's for the people who just care about the things of the world. But if you're going to be godly, if you're going to be upright, and if you're going to be in a loving relationship with Christ, then you've got to be single. You don't want to waste your time with anyone else when you have Christ to worship and Christ to save. That's a far different perspective than what we're normally told, isn't it? Now, of course, we do have the rest of Scripture. And we do know that marriage is honorable. And we do know there is no sin. Verse number 2. After Paul just said it's good for me not to touch a woman, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. And let every woman have her own. And it's saying, alright, it's good for not to touch a woman, but if you can't control yourself, I guess you can go get married. Paul seems to put a priority on the single life. That blew me away. You know, I don't know how many times I've read the Bible all the way through completely. I just never come across it. Because already in my mind, I have a preconception. And I would glaze over this. Because in my worldly mindset, my purpose was to find a wife. My purpose was to meet my mate. To meet my mate. Yeah. And I missed the boat completely. And when I read through this, now I can grab solace. I can grab some comfort knowing I'm not out of God's will. I'm not some sort of a lesser Christian because I don't have a spouse, but I have a unique opportunity to serve the Lord. I don't know where everyone is in this room. I don't know how many of you are single, how many of you are not. And if you are single, what struggles you're going through, what struggles you're not going through. There are some people who are just perfectly, absolutely content just to be single. I was talking with a young lady last year sometime, and she was telling me she just didn't want to get married. And she just had the idea that she was going to be single almost for the rest of her life. She had no desire for a husband. I don't know if she was saying that just so I could get off of that. But I do know she's married now, just a year later. But there are some people who, quite honestly, just don't want to be. And there's nothing wrong with that. That person is to be looked at as strange, as odd. But the fact is, most people aren't going to get married. That's the way God intended. There's nothing wrong with marrying. But on the other hand, there's nothing wrong with living a Christian life as a single person. Now, what do we do with the loneliness? What do we do with the distractions that we have, the temptations that we have? Well, what would anyone do? We go to the Word of God. We go to the Scriptures.
Right.
What does the Lord have to say? We don't find our comfort anywhere else other than God and His Word. If we are going through these struggles, maybe that's God's signal telling us, you need something else. Go back to the Word of God. Come back to me. If you're not complete, your completeness is found in me, your problem is with me. Use this time to develop that relationship with Christ. I'm not married, as I've said many times already. But I do know something about relationships. And I know any relationship takes time. You've got to cultivate that. It just doesn't just happen. You don't just meet somebody and instantly it's like that. I used to tell people I would never ask out another young lady unless she dropped out of the sky wearing a big red bow, a car me to Kevin from God. If I saw that, then we'd get married and life would be happy later. Right? That's not going to happen. Because relationships are going to take time. You remember that story?
Yes, I do.
Patrick, this was actually at camp, and Patrick Chisanos found the young lady, dressed her up in a bow. Some of the things I got to put up with. But, I need to keep my job, so I'll move on. But a relationship will take time. This is the time. In our single lives, this is the time to cultivate that relationship with Christ.
Yeah.
We don't have to worry about other engagements. Sometimes. We don't have to worry about worldly encumbrance. This is our time to cultivate that relationship with Christ. Pastor Thompson, I understand what you're saying, but I just want to fall in love with someone. I just want to absolutely call completely in love. And I've heard people say, Kevin, you can't talk about love because you don't know. You haven't known true love yet. Turn your Bibles over to 1 John. 1 John. I love these verses. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 7. You know, I had a nice little outline going here. So I see a little scattering, that's why. 1 John chapter 4 verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. If we want to know what true love is about, we have to cultivate that relationship with God, because any true love can only come from God. By the way, I'm going to
make the proposition that we're not ready for marriage until that relationship is healthy. You're not going to be able of showing love as you ought to show love to another person until you've experienced the love of God. Until you've cultivated your love for God. Your relationship with God is always, 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 always takes a preeminence over any other relationship.
Right.
Your relationship with Christ is more important than any other possible human relationship we could hope to have. If we're not in a right relationship with God, we don't have any business trying to form any other relationship because they're going to fail. We're not going to be able to show the love that we should have until we've gotten that taste of what true love is all about. Herein is love, that we love God, but that God loved us. What does it mean to know the love of God? Find that out. This is your time. This is your time to do just that. And for those of you who are pastors, I would encourage your singles not to... One of the purposes of this particular class, we were told right from the beginning, I forget the original title, something about how to keep your singles ministry from becoming a fishing expedition or something along those lines. And that's what most singles activities I've seen. It's we're trying to pair them up. That may not be the will of God. People may not be ready for that. Our time is not to be concerned with finding a spouse, but it's to be concerned with finding our love of Christ, our love from Christ. We can certainly know the true love is all about. And once we've gotten that relationship to a point where we can experience the love of God, then at that point, you know, I think our perspectives are going to change a lot. I find in myself a lot of worldly perspectives concerning dating and courtship. A lot of worldly mindsets. I see them in myself, and I didn't see them before. You know, what is the typical standard procedure for dating, for finding a wife? Well, you know, you look for the best-looking person. Not that looks are everything, right? But obviously, some attraction is going to be there. Okay, so we look for the best-looking person, then we find that person, and we weed out the people who would reject us anyway. So we find the best-looking person that we can obtain, and then we go through those people and say, all right, now are they godly? Do they have a great relationship with Christ? Are they in church? Are they doing what they ought to be doing? That's a worldly mindset. Because what do we place the emphasis on? Placing the emphasis on what? And you're saying, Pastor Johnson, that's easy for you to say because you're ugly. But I don't even have that. Turn your Bibles over to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. So you knew we were going here. My life verse. Proverbs 31 and verse 30. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Wouldn't it be absolutely radical for us to say, I'm going to look at the godliest young man, the godliest young lady that I can find.
Amen.
And then I'll say, now is there some sort of physical attraction? Or is there some sort of... The question is, what are we looking for? It all goes back to that relationship with God.
That's right.
If God and His relationship, God and His scriptures, has so infiltrated our mind that we begin to think and to act biblically, don't you think that that's what we're going to be attracted to?
That's right.
There's an evangelist who I was listening to one of his messages. He was talking about his father. His father was quite up there in age. His mother had died, so this man was widowed. He wasn't the most attractive guy in the world. He's up there. and he had a crippling disease where his face wasn't the most attractive to look. He was a pastor. Preached the word of God faithfully. And a few years after his wife's death, he started dating someone. A younger lady. And eventually they got married. This evangelist took this new bride aside at the wedding and said, Listen, I don't mean to question your motives or anything, but why? He's got no money. He's dad. You know, I've lived with him all my life. I don't know why anyone else would want to. What did you see in him? And she answered one word. God. I saw Christ in him. And that's what attracted me.
Yeah.
If we had that money, I know some people who just have the idea they just want to get married. They don't really even care who. In my realm of experience, I'm in the ministry. When I was in college, I knew people who just wanted to get married just because they knew with a family came a credibility that a single preacher would have. And I had a particular friend who got married. Just first girl who ever showed any interest in him. And he confessed to me weeks before the wedding. He didn't really wasn't sure if he was in love with her or not, just wanted to get married. That marriage was rocky. Sometimes we just want to settle for whoever comes. That we're getting older, right? I mean, we're all adults in this room. I'm reminded by people every as I think you've reminded me a few times. You know, it's I'm 27. I'll be 28 next week. I'm not thinking about that yet. Last year, 27th birthday, my pastor comes, and the first thing he says is, you know, 30's just down the road. Thanks. Yeah. But, you know, you're getting older, the field is getting smaller, isn't it? Not like in Bible college where, you know, Pastor Justin and I both went to the same Bible college. The ratio was 3-1 there. That ratio is shrinking and shrinking. And some of us are in churches where maybe we're the only single person there. We get a grab. There are some people who have this idea that just because if you're a single person in your church and another single person comes in your church, that absolutely has to be the will of God. You know? If you're single, you know what I'm talking about. You'll fire me for this later, but we had a single missionary come through. And I'll tell you, I wish I had a nickel for every time I heard, "Have you met our assistant pastor?" But that shouldn't be our concern. Our concern is not to just find somebody. Marriage is not our goal. Contentment is our goal. Why? Because we know every good gift comes from God.
Right.
By the way, if we don't have it, if God didn't give it, what can we assume from that verse? It's not a good for us at this point. We have a Heavenly Father who loves us. Loves us with a true and pure and holy love. Wants nothing but the best from us. Perhaps He's keeping something away for a purpose. And we know He is.
Right.
The purpose of a single life is to pursue God in a passionate relationship and to serve Him with all of our might. Now we've got our singles conference brochures. And do you want to
close with a few words first?
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. As a pastor, you know, it's funny. You know, in the beginning, I had much of the same mentality that most people have. And having worked with Pastor Thompson for the last few years, it's I've gotten a new perspective on singles ministries. And you know, in the beginning, we did try to marry him off. And then as we learned more about being single, we learned, as we searched the scripture, we learned that just what we heard today. It's a good thing. And there are things that single people need to be involved in. We have to make sure they're involved. And that they're able to serve in our ministries and to meet their needs. You know, there is going to be loneliness. You're going to have to help meet those needs. There is going to be depression. You have to help meet those needs. As married people, as pastors, as other singles, Pastor Thompson said, the focus is to get them, it should be on a relationship with Christ. That ought to be our focus as a pastor or as a married, even a married person, is to help that single person draw closer to God. So I wanted to take we'll pass out the flyers on your way out, but I wanted to give you opportunity in the last 5 minutes here or so. If you have any questions for Pastor Thompson or myself on your single, on how we can help your singles ministry?
We've got a majority of divorce people or widow people, even, so it's actually not much of a question. Although, you know, 40 and 50 year olds, you know, still have hope, supposedly. I guess it really finishes the same thing whether you're 27 or 57, you're serving God.
We have two ladies who are both in their mid-50s. Both of them have had their wives or their husbands pass away, and one of them has a desire to remarry. But they both have come to the realization through Pastor Thompson's ministry that being single is a good thing.
Amen.
And if God brings another husband along, well, praise the Lord. But until then, I'm going to focus on being single and serving God while and being content. And you know, it's true. Whether we have as a divorced person, I'm not sure where y'all are doctrine on that. But I don't believe in remarriage and with divorce, and so I believe that's what Scripture teaches. If you hold to something different, that's up to you. But so there would be no option of remarriage, and so what do they do? It's the same thing. It's causing them to draw closer to God and walk with God. So the focus, whether they're 18 years old and single, or 60 years old and single, is still the same. Yes, ma'am. Well, our church participates with a handful of other churches and singles activities, and they try to meet
Once a quarter.
Once every 2 or 3 months. The singles conference, this is the first time we've done it, and it came out of a burden that Pastor Thompson had, and I think it's going to be fabulous. The different workshops and on helping deal with the purity issues of single people and those types of things that help just to be a blessing to them. But I think it has to be, just like youth groups have to be well-rounded, singles ministries have to be well-rounded in service and in fun type activities.
I teach a small ladies Bible class and have on occasion had a single woman join our class. The majority are married. How can I better make a single person not feel segregated? What can we do to support them?
I think
matching them up.
It comes with our mindset. In the beginning, my mindset, I'll be frank, my mindset from the day he came on board with us was, where am I going to find him a wife? And it starts with a change of mindset by everyone in the group. Because if people in the group are saying, well, boy, so-and-so is single, you ought to get to... Then we just went back to that. It starts by, what is our focus? Our focus is, on, it ought to be as a married person also, by the way, on drawing closer to the Lord. And if we keep our Bible study as that as the focus, and not... I mean, obviously, if there's all married couples, it's going to be hard to not talk about marital relationships also. But we also need to make sure that single person realizes that the focus of all of us, married or single, is to draw closer to the Lord.
I would also add in that,
yeah.
I find myself in that situation a couple of times, not, of course, in a ladies' Bible study, but even in our church, you know, we don't have very many singles. And, you know, I've sat under messages where pastors talk about fatherhood and motherhood. You know, I'm not going to... How am I going to apply that? One of the great difficulties here is that in most churches, the singles are the minority. That's just the way it's going to be. That's the way the Lord intended it, I believe. But I would try to... I know a lot of churches get very couple-ish. Everything has to be done by families. Everything has to be done by couples. I try to stay away from that somewhat, but also I just throw in a few things every once in a while to say, just for a single person. I've noticed, even the pastors just send some messages, I get encouraged every time I hear something, even if it's just small, little nugget saying, you know, listen, God's still faithful, even if you're single, God's faithful. And again, things like that, just sometimes.
We have about 25%, as a small church, about 25% are single. We don't have couples activities. We have adult activities. Adult programs. Husband and wives come, yes, but it's adult. It's all our adults. That partly is because of our size of our church. We eliminated singles. We'd only have 10 adults left. You know, but, or maybe a little more than that, but you, it's again goes back to the philosophy. We don't do dating activities with teens for the same reason. My goal isn't to marry them. My goal is to draw them closer to the Lord.
We also have to remember that in any ministry, no matter what area we're talking couples, singles, teens, youth, doesn't matter. Our focus always, always, always has to be on Christ.
Right.
And if that's the focus of our ministry, sometimes we get so obsessed with meeting the felt need or meeting individuals' needs, which is important, but their need is Christ. Yeah. Let me just end with that.
Okay. Yes.
27 is very, very young.
Thank you.
There's still hope.
Thank you all for coming. Appreciate it.
You've been listening to Singled Out, the podcast for Christian singles. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to check out our website, fbsingles.wordpress.com.